It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
This is gonna be huge. I believe this is gonna be our finest hour. Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking. I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard. That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Here we go, taking off on a Monday edition of the Sports Rush. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy. With our friends on Facebook at Facebook Live. That's at facebook.com/1380thefan. We are broadcasting our show video style today, so you can actually get a chance to see behind the scenes what it looks like when we do the Sports Rush each and every day. It's such a nice day outside. We actually have windows open, so there's not only the lights overhead, but a little bit of sunshine actually shining in the studio today. It's been a while since I've been here in the studio doing a Sports Rush. We've been doing the math, and it was November 16th, which if you are calendarly challenged, it was 2 weeks ago Wednesday. That was the last time.
I kind of am calendarly challenged.
Which I think I'm making up words now. but I have that right when I've been gone this long. I can say what I want to say. It's been a long time since I sat in this chair. In fact, I notice, you know, the chair doesn't feel quite the same. It's had different.
It's been adjusted maybe.
It's had different cheeks in it, and it's kind of reshaped the seat a little bit. You know, all of a sudden I'm not sitting quite as comfortable in the chair today. So. But anyway, no, we loaned out the chair. John Nolan filled in for a day when I was heading to Evanston to cover the Mastodons versus Northwestern. And then Shannon Griffith picked up a couple of days last week. He was the host on Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday, we missed the show. And then Thursday, Friday, everybody here had a holiday, so there were no shows. So it's been quite a while since I've been here, and I've been quite the traveler.
Yeah, you've been all over.
I have definitely been all over. Of course, the trip started on the 17th, like we said, going to Evanston, Illinois. Don's taking on the Northwestern Wildcats. Good battle. 1-point game. 3 minutes left. Don's end up falling by 8. And then over the weekend, which would have been like November 20th, it was pretty much a full Sunday of travel to get down to Cancun. But what's a little bit of a misnomer is they call it the Cancun Challenge. Your flight is to Cancun. But when you don't book the trip, you really don't know the specifics. So I had no idea until that day that when the plane landed in Cancun, then it was onto a shuttle for a 1-hour drive south of the airport to get to this resort community, the Hard Rock Riviera Maya. And that's where the entire Cancun Challenge takes place. And so it would kind of be like having the Fort Wayne Challenge in Marion.
Yeah.
It's not really Cancun.
It's an hour south of Cancun.
Is it what, a Puerto Aventuras or something like that? I don't even know. I can't say. I can tell you this, Playa del Carmen.
Yeah.
Is like 15 minutes, 20 minutes north of where we were.
There you go.
So, you know, the little bit of a misnomer to call it the Cancun Challenge when really it's
yeah, Riviera del Maya Challenge is kind of a mouthful.
It is a little bit of a mouthful. And it used to be played at a resort that was literally on the outskirts of Cancun. And then it moved to the Hard Rock, probably a money thing, you know. And it's now hosted at the Hard Rock Riviera Maya. And let me just say, after seeing pictures of what the Indiana women's basketball team went through playing in a hotel conference center, they should send everybody that organized and was responsible for that event down to Cancun to see how it's done, how you can convert a hotel conference center into a basketball arena. Because I myself, when I went down there and found out that there really isn't an arena, that they convert their big conference center into the, quote, gym. I wasn't too sure how this was going to turn out, but let me tell you something. You walked in, and once you got seated and started watching the basketball, you kind of felt like you were in a high school gym. They had, and it was metal bleachers instead of wood, but you could sit about probably 1,500 people, which was plenty for those that traveled to the resort and to take this in. Mastodon's games probably had 200-300 people, but the place was packed for the championship between Auburn and Northwestern. And because of the schedules, I got a chance to walk back over to the conference center and take that game in on Thanksgiving Eve. Well, that ended up being a one-point game. Auburn ended up winning it, but it was a little bit of a who's who. You know, you've got Chris Collins, his dad. Chris Collins coaches Northwestern. His dad, Doug Collins, was in attendance. I literally bumped into Doug Collins as I was leaving the arena, came around a corner, and poor guy's walking on a cane, and I about wiped him out. And then, oh, you know who else was there?
I think you told me, but I don't know if we're talking about the same person.
Is it Maddie, the bachelorette?
Yeah.
From like a year ago. Apparently Auburn ties, and the guy I guess she ended up getting engaged to on her season of The Bachelorette, which I will admit, I watch Masked Singer. Okay.
Yeah.
On occasion, my wife will fill me in on Bachelorette episodes and stuff, but I am not a watcher of The Bachelorette regularly. So somebody, one of the people in our travel party, and I won't call out who it is, but his name's Isaac. But he was all over, he was like, I can't believe she's right over there. Look at her. And he's just like completely starstruck that The Bachelorette is sitting right there not far from us. And so I took a couple of pictures, I think, and posted one of them. But anyway, she was down there. But anyway, we had a great time. Okay.
Yeah.
Mastodon split the two games. They beat Eastern Michigan. But if you go through and say, okay, a whole day of Sunday flying to Cancun, and then on Monday kind of doing the prep for the game, making sure I've got everything prepped for the game, going through the video sessions, the meals, learning my way around. This complex is one of those things with like 16 different buildings that all extend different directions. And so it's a good 10-minute walk just to get to the pool. And you never really know where you're at. It's like you're always trying to figure out your way around. It's like 100 acres, 600 acres, I don't know.
It sounds kind of surreal.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge complex that is all self-contained, and you see nothing but the complex. In other words, you see no commercial buildings, you see no retail. You drive through a jungle to get to it. Then you get into the buildings, all surrounded by very dense woods, and then the one side you have the beach. That's it. Nice complex, though. We got lucky. Most of our rooms were in the building that was right across the street from the conference center, so we had a very short walk to go to games or go to our meetings. But we were down there, and then Thanksgiving was spent down in Mexico. They clearly do not relate well to what Americans desire.
Oh, okay. Wasn't the traditional Thanksgiving, you would say?
Apparently, no. they tried to sell it as a traditional Thanksgiving meal, but the only thing that I felt like we had was turkey. Other than that, no mashed potatoes, no stuffing, no pumpkin pie. Oh, in fact, they don't have pies. Their desserts are completely different. I wanted just a good old-fashioned cinnamon roll. Now, nothing like that at the breakfast.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
I know how you like your cinnamon rolls.
I mean, when they tell me a buffet, I'm like, okay, you have buffets with like four different areas of service. Surely one of these is going to have just some kind of cinnamon roll. Mini roll, big roll, I don't care. Some kind of cinnamon roll. Nope.
Man.
Nope. They had some kind of a croissant with like a chocolate, melted chocolate. I don't know. Ooh. It wasn't for me.
Okay.
But anyway, so Friday or Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, okay, tried to get a little pool time in. went down to the pool. I got a text that Delta had changed my flight. Okay. Now, certainly airlines, I think they just target me. They yeah. see me out there and it's like I got a target on my name. But Delta changes my flight for no real reason other than you're not going to be on the flight you think you're going to be on. You're going to be on a different flight. Well, Friday night, I had a high school state championship game with the Carroll Chargers that I was looking very forward to.
Yeah.
The change in flight would not have gotten me in town in time to then drive down to Indy and cover Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried to figure out alternative flights and options. I even said, hey, I'll leave Thanksgiving evening if I have to get home because I want to be there for this game and I want to cover this game. And if we don't have somebody else to cover it, I don't want to miss the game because, you know, I mean, I didn't want to take the responsibility of being, we will not have Carroll's football game tonight because Rump's in Mexico. That just wouldn't go over real well.
No.
I feel a little guilty about that.
So, a little bit.
So we're scrambling, and I want to give a shout-out to assistant coach Ryan Sims, who is also the team's travel director, because he went over and above to work out a flight arrangement for me to be able to be in Indianapolis to cover our high school state championships on Friday night. So for anybody that listened to the Carroll Center Grove game, and yeah, the result wasn't what we hoped for, but the only reason that game was on with me on the call was because Ryan Sims went over and above to find a flight that would get me to Indy in time to cover that game. Now, my second shout out has to go to Shannon Griffith.
Yeah, big shout out.
Because Shannon Griffith then had to pick up all the equipment, had to be my chauffeur down in Indianapolis because I was stuck there flying in without a car. And then he had to drive me back to my car at the airport. So big shout out to Shannon, who went out of his way to be able to get the equipment. And then you, Adam.
What? Whoa.
who made sure to take home a dead iPad. We asked one thing of you. Can you please get the broadcast equipment to Shannon? Shannon gets it and says, this isn't even charged. It's dead. I said, why would Adam... And I might have thrown a couple of extra names in there.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Give you an iPad to broadcast that has not been charged.
In my defense, I checked it like an hour before he was supposed to show up and get it. And I did get it started charging before he showed up. But probably should have checked it a little sooner there.
You were doing a little CYA and and found out. You
didn't cover it soon enough.
Well, fortunately, we did get it to like 59% by the time the broadcast was scheduled.
So yeah, I don't know. His truck is...
They charge slower than molasses. Yeah. I don't know why, but they charge super, super slow.
His truck actually has just a regular plug in it, too. Super helpful.
Yeah. He's got a fancy truck. I mean, he could have slept in the truck, and it probably was nicer than the small little hotel rooms that we got on our budget. But anyway, we went down there and got to Indianapolis, got the broadcast set up. Everything was we were taken care of down there. Great job by the IHSAA making sure we had our booth space and we're all taken care of. And unfortunately, Carroll didn't win.
To put it lightly.
Yeah, we'll talk more about our thoughts on the Carroll and Adam Central games, but. So eventually I got home. Now, remember, I packed thinking I was going to be getting to Fort Wayne Friday morning and then turning around, leaving again for Indianapolis Friday evening. So when I packed way back early Sunday morning, I was packing thinking, oh, it's like 5 days, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'll fly all day on Sunday. I just got to pack for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and whatever I'm going to wear coming back. And it's primarily a Mastodons trip. So I threw a couple of Mastodons t-shirts, a couple of Mastodons polos, Mastodons hoodie. And so everything I pretty much had was Purdue Fort Wayne. And then what happened? I'm left with that attire. So I was kind of scrambling to figure out what had the least amount of stink in it for doing the game on Saturday.
Yeah.
I actually did have one shirt still clean, and that was only because got some swag provided as part of the trip to Cancun.
There you go.
From the Mastodons. So
well, you can always rely on a promotional T-shirt.
Oh, and thank goodness I got it, because I would have been completely out of swag. And most of the clothes that I had worn and sweat kind of.
Yeah, you know, I know how it is.
It's 86 degrees and humid. So mm-hmm. everything I put on, it was hot and humid. And it was even one of those things where you sweat in the shade down there.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's that humid. 46862, still the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Got a huge weekend from the Purdue Boilermakers.
Oh, man.
And I don't even know if we're talking basketball or football.
Could talk about either.
I think volleyball even maybe had a big win.
It's been a huge,
it's just a huge win.
Yeah.
It's Boiler up all the way. In fact, how about Boiler up 19 spots?
Yeah, that's exactly what they did.
Whoa. Whew. All right, let's get some more headlines of what's happening in the world of sports. Adam Lundy.
All right, there are two new head coaching hires in Big Ten football. The Wisconsin Badgers hired former Cincinnati head coach Luke Fickell.
Great hire.
And the Nebraska Cornhuskers hired Matt Rhule, who was recently let go as head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
And we'll see how that hire goes.
The Big Ten has fined Michigan State $100,000 and has suspended defensive back Kari Crump, for 4 games since the incident in the tunnel against Michigan, as well as the first 8 games of the 2023 season. The other 6 players that were charged have already served 4-game suspensions, and they ruled that was sufficient. And in Jacoby Brissett's final start for the Browns before he hands it over to Deshaun Watson on Monday, the Browns send him out with a bang in a thrilling 23-17 come-from-behind victory over the Bucs on Sunday.
More question marks in Tampa Bay. That is our headlines of the day from Adam Lundy. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. I'll give you some thoughts on what we saw Friday night, Saturday, as we had 2 teams take shots at state championships. Unfortunately, both came up short. That means the Northeast Indiana area without a championship this year. And we'll talk a little bit about what we saw from Carroll and Adams Central. We'll talk about Purdue. Indiana, okay, Hoosiers fans, we've got some talk about Indiana. And we've got Don Fisher coming up today because it is a Monday. We've got our 15 Minutes with Fish coming your way at 5:20. Packed edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
This is Mike Nutter, team president of the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, and you're listening to The Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Welcome back to The Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump back in the studio with Adam Lundy, and we are connected just to prove, I guess, that I am here. We are on Facebook.com/1380TheFan, a Facebook live stream that will be rolling through the show today. Jump on board, whether it's here on the radio, on our stream, which is available worldwide through the 1380 The Fan app, or you can catch it at 1380TheFan.com, or you can also check us out on Facebook. Hope you join the show at some point today. So Purdue, what a jump. 19 spots in the AP poll all the way into the top 5. You want to talk about a pretty good week? That's having a pretty good week.
I was just going to say that jump is well-deserved, in my opinion. I was surprised they weren't even a little bit higher than 5.
I don't think anybody's done the research yet to figure out if that's a historic jump. If 19 spots is the biggest jump anyone's ever made in a single week in the AP poll, because I checked it just before I left to come in today. That's been an hour ago. And I could not find anybody who said whether it was or was not the greatest jump in 1 week in AP poll history. Now, here's the thing. It also kind of proves the worthlessness of preseason polls, because everybody goes up or down based on what they started at, their starting point. And their starting point can be way off. Purdue's starting point clearly was not where it should have been. But they did have question marks, and they've answered them with exclamation points. Fletcher Lawyer and Braden Smith have been terrific as the guard combo, and they had big shoes to fill. I mean, you're replacing Jaden Ivey and Sasha Stefanovic, and you come in and take care of the ball, don't turn it over, distribute it. I mean, Braden Smith has been terrific as a distributor. He,
Yeah, he's been awesome.
And then Fletcher Lawyer is that shooter that they lost with Stefanovic.
Yeah.
And then Caleb Furst. You add the red shirt.
Yeah.
In Trey Kaufman Wren. And so, you know, they've got a complement of players that are filling in the voids, and it you got to love the way they play. And if this doesn't prove to you that Matt Painter's one of the top three or four coaches in college basketball, I don't know what he has to do to prove it. Because you can take a group of guys that were not the top prospects. You don't have a superstar. I mean, there's no superstar on this roster. Zach Edey just happens to be a monster of a man, but he's not necessarily a superstar. And you teach them how to play basketball the right way, how to stay in motion offensively. You make everybody commit to defense, and if they don't commit to defense, they don't play. And Matt Painter stands by that. He demands defense. And they figure out how to play winning basketball. It's a great system.
Yeah.
And it's a system that anybody can learn to execute and to be a good basketball team. Now, you become a great basketball team when you can execute it and have some talent. And obviously, Purdue does have that, even if they don't have a superstar. But, you know, and it seems like different guys kind of stepping up. Yesterday against Duke, it was the Fort Wayne combination. I thought Fletcher Lawyer and Caleb Verse combined to give Purdue a real boost yesterday. 18 points from Lawyer, 11 points, 10 rebounds from Caleb First. Lawyer hit 4 of 8 from distance to both of his free throws and finished with 18 points. Meanwhile, Caleb First was 4 for 6 from the field, 3 of 5 at the free throw line, 5 offensive rebounds, 5 defensive rebounds, 10 rebounds total. They were terrific yesterday. As you know, you look and you think, boy, this schedule's just way too tough for Purdue to survive all three of these games. West Virginia, Gonzaga, and Duke.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you think about last season's team, they could have easily lost to West Virginia in the first game.
Yeah, and that was a team that there were very high expectations, but I don't think last year's team could have gotten through Gonzaga and Duke back-to-back and won both games.
No.
And so the Boilermakers remain unbeaten, and they are 6-0. And of course, then you look at IU, and they played a lot of states and a lot of directionals. And I mean, you know, it's not the same schedule. They played Xavier, and then what was the? I don't even know who they played last week. Miami of Ohio, right?
Yeah.
They played Jacksonville State. What was it?
It was Jacksonville State. Yep.
No, Jackson State.
Oh. Jackson
I don't know.
State.
On here it says Jackson State.
it is Jackson State, yes.
Okay, they played Jackson State and played somebody in between. But it was three games that were basically like what the Mastodons playing, you know, a D3 competition.
So it was after exhibitions, they started with Morehead State, Bethune-Cookman, Xavier, Miami of Ohio.
Okay, and now, then Little Rock. And Jackson State. Those three were part of what's called the Hoosier Classic, I think they called it.
Mm-hmm.
Way to invite the big boys to your classic, Indiana. So now Indiana will play North Carolina, who has fallen twice.
Yeah. They were on the other side of that.
That Alabama-North Carolina game yesterday was crazy.
Yes, it was.
What, back and forth.
Quadruple overtime?
Was it a quadruple?
It was.
I lost track of how many overtimes they were playing in that game.
Easy to do.
Yeah. Both teams went over 100.
Yeah.
And eventually, 36 shots in that game for Caleb Love.
Wow.
And eventually, Alabama got the win over North Carolina.
Yeah. And so
you might have kind of a weary North Carolina coming into Bloomington on Wednesday to take on the Indiana Hoosiers. But Indiana's pretty rested because they've been playing 12 guys against all the, you know, Southwest blankety blank state that they've been playing.
Yeah, they'll definitely have their biggest challenge with North Carolina coming up.
Wonder how much of this schedule Mike Woodson really, I mean, I can't believe that this is the schedule Mike Woodson wanted.
No, I think maybe next, in a couple more upcoming seasons, we might see a little bit more of a challenge.
I'm wondering how many of these were contracted before Mike Woodson, and he kind of had to just play out the end of a contract or something. Because, yeah, it's not a strong
considering
enough
he wants to be playing with the likes of Kentucky and such. I the other teams that they're playing right now is just
He seems to be a no fear kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Bring on Arizona, bring on, you know, Kentucky, bring. And so it's like, boy, to have this run of games that they started the season with, where even Xavier, as kind of their high-profile game, it's not like a huge power, national power.
No.
Good test, but mm-hmm. it's a test. If you're going to be a top-10 team, you have to win. And the Hoosiers barely did, but they did get the win against Xavier. Now it's going to be a real challenge to see where they stack up against a North Carolina team that's obviously going to be a little bit agitated, to say the least.
By the way, I have found the largest leap in the AP poll.
Okay, what is it?
As from what I could find, it was a tie between Michigan in 2019 going from unranked to number four. And it looks like Kansas did the same thing in 1989.
And number four, really?
Yeah.
Now, Purdue did get 8 first place votes.
Yes, they did.
So there are some people that were like, I don't care what they were ranked. That is the best team in the country. And some of the high profile people that submit to the polls. Seth Davis, I think, was one of them. Who else? But there were some big names that put Purdue number one in the country on their ballot. 8 in total that had the Boilermakers number one. So Friday night, Carroll versus Center Grove. Here was my thought. And we were talking in the hallway with Greg Rakestraw. Of course, you hear Greg on the show here. He's also part of the IHSA Champions Network, and he was going to be calling the game on TV that night. And so we were talking before the game a little bit about the Carroll squad, and I said my only concern is everything this year has been driven somewhat by the underlying theme of the Owen Strong and the Owen Shealy effect on the team. And I said, Carroll has done everything they set out to do, possibly could have set out to do, to get to the state championship game. They win 13 games, Owen Shealy's number. They get past an Indianapolis suburban school, which hasn't been done in Class 6A. I said, they may be feeling like, we've done everything to get what we believe is the cherry on top, which is the trip to play in a state championship. Not the opportunity to win a state championship, but the chance to go play in one. Center Grove has one mission: win a state championship. That's it. Their journey is not complete by showing up on Friday night. And I had some feeling that Carroll was kind of a mission accomplished once they beat Hamilton Southeastern and earned that trip to Lucas Oil Stadium. And I was afraid that it was more, this is your reward for last week's victory, instead of this is your opportunity to take it to the ultimate final step. And I'm not going to say that cost them the game, because let's face it, physically, Center Grove just pounded Carroll off the line of scrimmage. Carroll has done that all year to opponents, and they've owned the line of scrimmage. And in that game on Friday, Center Grove's offensive line, they just plowed Carroll 5, 6, 7 yards off the line and made it easy for the Center Grove running backs to pick up 6, 7, 8 yards on first down almost every set of downs. So I don't think it changes the game. Now, there was, you know, a bad call that could have helped the momentum, maybe kept the game a little closer. But all in all, Center Grove was a better team than Carroll. Now Carroll knows exactly what it takes to win state championships and the type of team that wins 3 straight state titles. And that could make our teams here in Fort Wayne better. Now that we know, hey, number one, you can get there. And number two, here's what you need to take it the next level to win it. And because Center Grove has gone 4 straight times, they've won 3 straight titles. So what's that tell you? The first time they made it into Lucas Oil Stadium, they might have felt like it was mission accomplished, and not really been focused on winning the title, but just focused on getting to that game. And I think that might have been a little bit of the feeling for Carroll. I wonder if they were really focused on winning the football game, or if they were happy to be making the trip to Indianapolis. Because regardless, the community was going to feel the same way. And the community came out in big support down at Lucas Oil Stadium. But Senator Grove just had their way in the running game, and nothing Carroll could do about it. Now, Adams Central, couple of big plays. And you know what happens with a team like Indianapolis Lutheran? They're built on big plays. They've got athletes that can really break big plays against you. And they got Adams Central caught into some man-to-man situations that favored Indianapolis Lutheran. They threw the ball up in the air, let Lutheran go and catch it, and it resulted in some big plays for touchdowns. And Adams Central is not a team that is built to come back from two scores down. They can't do it. And they haven't had to do it for a long time. But all of a sudden, they had to do it on Saturday, and it wasn't an offense or a team that is built to come from two scores back. And so, unfortunately, once they fell behind, it was a real uphill climb for Adams Central.
Yeah, but still an incredible season for both teams.
Unbelievable.
It's been really fun covering them all season for my first full season of high school football.
Yeah, you've been out there with us pretty much every step of the way, and back here in the studio for the Saturday game. But it's been a fun season, and it's always a little surreal when the season ends. I mean, you look back and you remember all the great moments that you had during the course of the season, but it's a very quick 3 months from start to finish. And all of a sudden, it's like you're all hyped about the state championship games. They come and go, and then you realize we got to wait 9 months before we get to do this again. And so it is a little bit of a letdown. Now, we will be, we'll be jumping right in both feet to basketball season come this Friday.
Absolutely, coming right up.
We've got the Warsaw Tigers visiting the Homestead Spartans. And what a great way to start our broadcasting season. To start it at Homestead with that brand new gymnasium. And I guess since we're radio, all we can do is describe how nice the video boards look. But we'll do our best to describe that. But it is going to be an exciting one. Two good basketball teams with Warsaw and Homestead doing battle coming up this Friday night. Join us for our high school basketball coverage. And still a chance for you, too, if you have a business to sponsor our coverage. We couldn't do it without the support of our sponsors. And every year we've got to evaluate the sponsorship situation and determine, can we get all the way to Indy? Because one thing when you get to Indianapolis is all of a sudden you have very high broadcasting rights fees, and you have them throughout the tournament. But it gets much higher when you get to Indy, and you have the cost of the travel. You have the, we had to do a Friday night and a Saturday game. We had costs of hotels that we had to get to stay there, because you can't commute back and forth and try to come all the way back on 5 or 6 hours of sleep. So it makes for a pretty expensive weekend. But that's our commitment, is to cover the high school football teams all the way to state championships. And the only way we're able to do it is because our sponsors are right there with us, helping us to provide the coverage that we do of high school football. So now it's basketball season, and we ask the same thing. That if you can support our broadcast, we would love to have you contact us. You can find me on social media, Brett Rump Sports on Twitter. You can DM me. You can email me, brump@federatedmedia.com. But we certainly appreciate all of our sponsors. And we do have some sponsors lined up for basketball, but we could always use some more, because it helps to defray the cost of what we do. And sometimes the number of games is dependent upon the amount of budget and sponsorship that we have. So if you enjoy hearing the high school sports, support it. It's that simple. We don't charge you to listen, like some. We don't charge you pay-per-view or pay-per-listen. So we just ask the businesses, and we give you a lot of credit on our broadcast, that businesses just help to support it. And, of course, we've got sponsorships that can work with any budget, so don't have to worry about that part of it. 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. It was really rough down in Mexico, because I was relying on internet service through Wi-Fi, and, boy, was that unreliable. It kept cutting out. Every time I would try to do some prep, whether it be for the high school games or for the Mastodons game, I would sit there and I would start to type something in, and then it would do the buffering and things would freeze up. And I had a tough time getting all my stuff done because did not have reliable internet service down there for either my laptop or my phone. So I failed to enter my NFL U Pick'em picks.
I kind of wish I had the same problem.
Oh, well, you just looked up your results and thought maybe I'd have been better if I just didn't put any.
Yeah, exactly. I probably should have just said that I also did not have any good Wi-Fi because yeah. I'm looking at like 8-7 right now on the week. So.
Not a real good week. Wasn't a good week for you picking, but we've got to make some picks for this week. Of course, tonight the Colts in action, taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Are you ready
for that big matchup? The Colts are not out of it yet.
No, they're not.
I look at their schedule and I'm like, okay, there's some good teams, but they're teams that Colts match up with mm-hmm. really well.
Yeah.
I don't feel so horrible. Boy, Zach Wilson might be feeling horrible today.
Might be.
He might have just had his career as a starter ended by Mike White.
And all because of a press conference, too. I mean, if you really think about it, you know, if he hadn't acted that way, Mike White might not have even seen the field.
Yeah, and then it's
now
like,
look what happens.
I don't think Wilson's getting the ball back.
It's kind of like, you know, the Jenga block. You hit the small one, and it goes to a bigger block, and then the next one falls, and then it's in the bigger block, all of a sudden you're knocking over something giant.
What the heck are you talking?
It's the power of
Jenga?
The transfer of motion, you start with a small block and it knocks over a slightly bigger block, and then the slightly bigger block can knock over. So anyway,
so that's what happened to Zach Wilson.
Yeah,
you knocked over the big block.
It all just keeps going.
You get
to the big block and you're messed up.
Strange analogy. But Zach Wilson may have lost his starting job with the New York Jets.
There's a very popular, it's an internet meme.
It might be a generational thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like.
I'm just disconnected this, from whatever that is.
This small event leads to this big event, basically. Okay. And it's Jenga blocks exceeding in size.
Yeah, and the big event was Mike White just absolutely looked great yesterday for the Jets against the Chicago Bears. Who had Simeon, and then he wasn't going to play, and they were going to have to put in Peterman, and then Simeon played.
It's not good.
Yeah, it was kind of a mess for the Bears. And
sloppy.
Yeah, it was sloppy. But I tell you what wasn't sloppy, Michigan, Ohio State.
Oh, man.
That was a show.
Yeah.
And Fox had their biggest audience ever.
Yeah, biggest.
On noon kickoff.
Wow.
For a college football game.
Mm-hmm.
And Michigan dominates in the shoe.
Yeah, they even planted the flag there. They did the flag in the center of the O.
So I guess the question now, Ohio State, Alabama, are they out?
I think so.
I mean,
unless Michigan really just poops the bed against Purdue next, you know, I don't
because they've got no way of improving their status.
No.
So the only thing they can hope is someone embarrasses themselves.
Yeah.
And then the question is, there's not going to be two spots. Either Ohio State and or Alabama will be out.
Mm-hmm.
That's two pretty big powerhouse programs in college football that get great support, that the committee is going to be very upset they can't find a way to get them in.
Mm-hmm.
Could we have an emergency hearing and say we've got to have an 18 playoff because we cannot take this much money from these fan bases and television viewers. I mean, imagine if we end up with TCU versus USC.
Yeah, I wouldn't be thrilled to watch that. I'm going to be honest with you.
No. TCU in general is not going to get that much interest.
No.
And I think Ohio State would have a bigger fan base than Michigan. Even though Michigan has a great fan base, I still think Ohio State would have a bigger draw. Just because of the history of success, the tradition of the program. I just think this is heading to a direction where there is going to be such an outcry for eight teams. Because the teams that are going to finish 5, 6, 7, and 8 are all teams that you're going to say, boy, I would have loved to have seen them. I would have loved to have seen them, right? Because look, what Clemson, Ohio State, Michigan, or Alabama, who else might be in that 5-8 group?
Yeah, you got a lot of good teams.
I mean, USC could be.
Yeah.
Notre Dame won't get there, but there could be some pretty good LSU.
Yeah.
You know, that, I mean, that's a historical program, tradition. 46862 Parkview Sports Medicine text line. By the way, someone did text in, was trying to point out that Indiana, they were trying to make it sound like Indiana has a great schedule because they do have four tough ones coming up. Now, they did, you know, they did go heavy where they, I guess, where they could get them scheduled.
Yeah.
Arizona, Kansas, North Carolina. Who else do they have in there?
Yeah, UNC, Arizona, in Las Vegas. They're at Kansas.
And they had Xavier.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. If you want to count them as a powerhouse program, great.
But, I mean, West Virginia, Gonzaga, Duke.
West Virginia, Gonzaga, and Duke in back-to-back-to-back games.
In a neutral location.
And then they've got – who's Purdue got in the ACC? Is it Florida State?
I'll get it for you.
I think Florida State. Of course, Florida State's kind of – whoever got Louisville is the one with the golden egg right now, or the golden ticket, because Louisville has been awful. You said you'd get that for me.
Yeah, I'm getting it. Sorry.
You must have some Mexican internet right now. Yeah, because it's the, working about the, like it did for me down in Mexico.
I've got the Cancun internet.
Oh,
yep,
man.
Yep. At Florida State in Tallahassee.
Okay. So they're on the road again.
Yeah.
Man, they go from Portland
to Tallahassee.
Yeah, Tallahassee. It's a road trip. Okay, let's throw this out there.
Sure.
Let's say tomorrow Indiana plays Purdue tomorrow. Who wins that game?
I'll give it to Purdue.
Really?
I mean, just going off experience on the season so far, they've been in tougher games.
3 days ago, we never would have said that.
No.
But, Four days ago, we wouldn't have said that.
I mean, yeah, but it's just like...
That's how much now we believe in Purdue based on what we saw over this three-game stretch.
Those results are hard to argue with.
Well, obviously, and that's why they jumped 19 spots in the eight people.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Everybody bought that saw them bought in. They all bought Purdue, and they did jump Indiana in the AP poll. But I guess if Indiana and Purdue played, First of all, you look at what Purdue is doing well. Zach Edey would be a player that Indiana would have a tough time contending with.
Yeah, I mean, he's almost someone that every team has to double.
Well, the problem is it puts Trace Jackson-Davis into foul trouble.
Yeah.
Every time they try to put Trace Jackson-Davis on Edey, he picks up a couple of early fouls. He did it both games last year. And so, okay, what's your next option? Race Thompson? Thompson is like 8 or 9 inches shorter than Zach Edey.
You can just lob it into him right over him pretty much.
Yeah, and so that creates a mismatch. I don't know if Malik Renew has the type of body that's going to be able to move Zach Edey anywhere.
Yeah, 46862, if you want to weigh in on it too. Yeah, Indiana, Purdue.
Who wins and why? Purdue, Indiana, if they were to play tomorrow.
I think we'll be able to tell a little bit better after Indiana plays North Carolina.
Yeah, that'll be a tough one.
Yeah.
Baycott, Love. Because North Carolina got, what, 3 or 4 of their players that came back? 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Out of the Michigan Ohio State game, USC Notre Dame, is there a surprise? Were you surprised at just how good Caleb Williams was? Because is the Heisman race over? Did he seal it with one great night against the Irish?
That's what they're saying.
I mean, kind of amazing. It was kind of like by default, everybody kind of fell out.
Yeah.
You know, the names that we looked at, C.J. Stroud. Oh, it wasn't kind of a disappointing year for C.J. Stroud. Quarterback down in Alabama.
Oh, I'm drawing a blank, too. Why am I drawing a blank?
All of a sudden, I draw a blank.
Oh, goodness.
And he won it last year, right?
Yeah.
Bryce Young.
Oh, yeah. Man, we're great. We're just great.
I've been gone for a while.
I have no excuse.
I've been disconnected.
We did just get a couple.
I had bad internet. Oh,
sorry. We did just get a couple texts. Someone said, I think if USC or TCU loses, Ohio State moves back into number 4.
Really? Well, they put the poll out when? Tonight or tomorrow?
Not sure.
Did they do it at halftime of the Monday Night Football game? Another project for you during our commercial break.
I gotcha.
Because I'm anxious to know when they're going to, because they will tell us who they want in by what the order is tonight. In other words, if they believe they would like to see Ohio State earn a way back in, Ohio State's going to be sitting there at number five. And so I think we'll find out. I kind of agree. It's kind of tough to lose a game in the final week that's your only loss to a really good opponent that is also an unbeaten opponent, and to have that count as the game that keeps you out of the top four. Because if Michigan and Ohio State would have played in week one, they'd both be in right now. Because that's just the way it would have worked out. Ohio State in week one, a loss to Michigan would have dropped them to five or six. And during the course of the season, they'd be up there at number three or four. Yeah. So it's kind of a shame that it happening in the final week is what cost Ohio State.
We just got another text. Now, you were going to touch on this in the first hour. We didn't get to it, but they said, did you see the last? This is the last season of the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
Yes, and that is that's ESPN announced that. We mentioned it coming into the show, but it is the final year of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. And the reason, because of ESPN not having the Big Ten contract, and so ESPN is going to go get two conferences that have aligned with them on the TV deals, and it will be the ACC-SEC Challenge starting next year. So it'll be like Auburn versus North Carolina, or Alabama versus Duke, or you know those types of matchups. So the ACC will still be part of the challenge, but the Big Ten will not be the other side of it. It will be the SEC replacing the Big Ten in that challenge. We got to take a break. We've got another hours coming up. And, of course, we're still on Facebook. So if you're getting home right now, maybe rolling into the driveway, you can go in, pop open the laptop, check us out at facebook.com/1380thefan and catch our Facebook live stream behind the scenes here at the Sports Rush. We're coming back next on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.